Good evening. It's certainly good to see each and every one, encouraged by your presence. Especially want to welcome our visitors and thank you for coming, being with us. Yeah, it's good to see Larry and Annette here visiting with us tonight. Glad to see them. Well, we didn't speak about it this morning, but tonight I thought I'd talk a little bit about some of the things that's going on. Of course, we've made it through December the 21st, which was supposed to be in on the Mayan calendar, the end of the deal, and it's supposed to have been over with. But there seems to be quite a bit of interest in events, things happening in the world. There's actually a new series. It's actually been out for some time now, but it's called Doomsday Preppers. Some of you may have seen that program. And there's people who spend a lot of time getting ready for some calamity that's coming. Many didn't take the position that the end of the world would occur on the 21st. But there'd be like a new cycle, and even maybe some cataclysmic event. Some actually thought that. There are different things that they see on the horizon that they prepare for and so forth. And so we want to spend a little time talking about that and try to find our compass on dealing with problems like that in the world. So tonight we want to talk about doomsday preppers and think some things about this. Getting ready for doomsday. Now, I hope that, you know, as I listen to the media and different ones on the 21st throughout the day, a lot of people just made a mockery of it. I didn't do that and participated in that. I didn't think that way. And I hope none of us did on any day or at any time. We need to take life very soberly. We don't know when air day will end, regardless of whether the time itself will end. But we need to always be ready to meet the Lord and be prepared and be reverent toward God and toward our life, spiritual life with Him, and always be thinking along those lines. But there are some things that we see in the world that people get involved in, and some things that we can learn some lessons from. And so when you look at this, people view energy shortages and so forth as bringing about some major catastrophe where that bad things are going to happen. Well, you know, it's true, probably to some degree, that if everybody was out of gas and you had some gas and you was riding up and down the road, as we know, somebody would probably try to take your automobile from you, and somebody would... Something would happen. Maybe somebody in an emergency would say, hey, we need you to take us somewhere. So, you know, there are some drastic things could happen in an energy shortage, for sure. But when you look on a scale of what a lot of people would think is happening or could happen, you know, it's just outright lawlessness. And maybe on some scale that could happen. But is that what we should focus our attention on, is that, and be worried and scared to death every day of our being because of an energy shortage? Maybe crime and violence. As a result of some of these things going on, then of course crime and violence increases. But when you look at this doomsday picture of things, then there's really no hope. That you see all this violence and various things going on, a lot of killing and mass murder and pillaging on large scales, and could be to some degree if something happened. I think the Katrina was an eye-opener for many people, and the way that people react when there's absence of things that's needed, people stealing and hurting and crying or killing and so forth, there was a lot of that went on. But what about on a grand scale like this, worldwide over? And then natural disasters. Some see that natural disasters are going to, they view things in the way that things are going on in the world, and they see that this is going to bring about some type of major end in things. Maybe some star or planet is going to run into the earth and just destroy things on a major scale. Maybe no food and things like that. Well, Is it possible that a meteorite could hit the country or the world and do a great bit of damage? Well, I guess that's possible. But people who focus all their attention on these type of things, where they can't live and do anything else. Disease and pestilence. There's all types of hybrid types of diseases and things that are developed all along the way. Great scares of... You remember years ago you had like the Black Death in Europe. Numbers of people were just killed off. Well, could such a thing happen today? You look like the AIDS epidemic when that first came about. I really didn't know exactly all the extents of how that could be transmitted one to the other. And so mosquitoes and various bugs and insects carrying diseases around. Could such a thing happen? Well, I guess it's possible. That a great number of people could be killed that way and disease could strike many people. I heard something the other day. Actually saw a little program about it night before last. That there's actually people who think that they could be a zombie uprising, you know, of all things. Actually, I was over at Brian's one day and we was watching a news thing about something like this and they were just talking about it. And somebody said, these two guys on this program were saying, this guy who says that the world's going to end on the 21st, he's just an idiot. And then the other guy said, well, this fellow here who thinks that the world's going to be taken over with zombies, well, he's an idiot. And so they were just going backwards and forwards. But there's really people who believe stuff like that in the world, and they make preparations to do something about that. They think that something... the government could create that would actually cause people to be very violent that way. And kind of like this Walking Dead series, it's such a popular thing now. People get wrapped up in that kind of stuff. And then food shortages. Well, when you think about just a good snow, a projected snow, you go to the store and you can't find any milk and bread. You know, that's kind of a laugh in a lot of places. When you go to the store, when it's going to snow, and everybody runs to the store and they get stock up on snacks and stuff, you know, because you're going to be stuck in the house. I remember growing up in the mountains when people reacted this way. I mean, when you got a warning and you made it out the holler, you know, and get what you needed, that was serious stuff, you know, because we're going to get out for a few days. But on grand scales of things, could such thing happen? Well, yeah, it could. You know, what about transportation? We talked about energy a while ago. What if just the transit was to stop? How quick do you think the store shelves would end out? People said people are about 3 meals or 3 days out, away from violence. Anything can happen. People react when they begin to go hungry. So I guess things like that could happen. But there's people who just focus on that. And they react, overreact in a lot of ways. How some people prep for doomsday? Well, an underground bunker. And there's people who make small fortunes building these type of things and people putting them in the ground and fixing them up. And especially out in the Midwest and various places, there's a lot of people who spend a lot of time with this. If something drastic was to happen, I'm sure something like that would be of great value. I remember, if you remember back during the Cold War era, maybe mid-50s or so on, it was a common thing. People would build these places where, in case of atomic bomb, you would run in that. You know, and a lot of people got into that. They built those things. And in the community I grew up in, there was a shelter built in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. And I thought, well, that's a lot of money spent for that hole in the ground. And, you know, it sat there for a long time, and eventually somebody converted it into something else, you know. But people can do things like that, and people do. A fortress. Some people will build a fortress, and this is a picture of one. You can see these. You might pass one of these trucks on the road, a semi-trailer. Now, here's a bunch of them stacked up in like a little fortress. And people prepare themselves and defend themselves You see this stuff all the time anymore. This is some way that people deal with the concept of doomsday and how they prep themselves for what they see coming. And then others, they just arm themselves to the teeth. And so, you know, there's guns and all types of ammunition and just people have all kinds of heavy armor for possible threats like this. And then survival kits. There's hardly about any talk radio show that you listen to anymore that they're not trying to sell you a kit. And I guess if water went off, probably a good thing to have a good store of water. And maybe it wouldn't hurt, you know, to have some food in case something happened. I don't see anything wrong with that, but sometimes people might go too far with stuff like this. And a lot of people really spend a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of focus, a lot of discussion, a lot of talk. That's their life, is this doomsday approach and things. Other people, they just stockpile food. I know I used to preach at a little old rest area home one time, and the people who owned it, a lot of the food that they got in, and Ruth knew the family that owned it, and their home was just stacked full of stuff that went into that facility, and they would just cut out certain parts of it and take it into their home, and their house was just full. That was along 2000, if you will, when they thought everything was going to go awry at the turn of the century, of course. But there's people who do that, and I'd say that probably it's a smart thing to do to some degree, to have maybe a reserve of something if you can. There might be some wisdom in that. But should our whole life be focused on that? This is just the way people think, and this is just what people do when it comes to this type of thing. Let's grasp the big picture and look at something a little bit bigger than that. And I want to just show some verses to you. I want you to just think about what these verses are saying to you, and what we should be doing, how we should be living our life. And then, let's see what you think as we hear these passages. Here's the first one. Matthew 6 and verse 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, let's just let your mind run back over the pictures that we just saw. How much do you think that a person that would spend thousands upon thousands of dollars for expensive guns and ammunition? Look where his treasure is. And where it's possible that somebody could break in and steal if they knew about it. Sadly, understand that Joshua has a friend in Grayson that you all may have heard this in the news. Understand this young fella had a good pile of, I guess, expensive shoes. And I don't know all the whole details about that. You may have heard about this young boy about 14 years old who was murdered in Grayson last week. And apparently the picture is at this point that he come home and he caught some people maybe in a home invasion or whatever, and this boy was killed. And suspicion is maybe that this boy online bought shoes and traded in them and so forth, and that maybe somebody found out about that. I don't know. But that's a sad thing. People find out that you've got things hoarded up, especially valuable things, they're apt to break in and steal it. And then that being the case and your knowledge of it, you may just surround your life. I know people who won't go to town, won't do anything because of what they've got. They're afraid to leave because of what they have. Afraid somebody's going to steal what they've got. Their treasure has become what's most valuable to them. That's where their heart is. And so, where should we be laying up our treasure? On earth or in heaven? How about this verse? Matthew 10, verses 28 through 31. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, when you look at just a little copper coin and the Roman times, or first century times, something of price, something of just very insignificant, of a sparrow, a little bird, maybe that would be offered as an offering and bought, purchased to be offered or so forth. Now, if you take something of that insignificant amount in nature, and not one of them perishes without the Lord's will, He knows that. And then He gives us the illustration about the very hairs of your head are all numbered. How much that God cares for you. Then, where should our focus and concern really be? Should it be worrying about somebody who's going to take our life? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be unprepared or be on... use good wisdom about where we are at all times and things like that. I'm not saying to throw caution to the wind. But does it affect us in such a way that we can't live and that we can't be a good Samaritan and that we can't assist somebody and help somebody, open up our home to somebody in need, do something good for somebody? Does it mean that? If so, maybe we're thinking along the lines of these doomsday guys, or doomsday guys, that they're focused on so much destruction that they can't ever do anything good for anybody else. What about 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12? Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, you've heard me say this before. I heard an old preacher say it before. And he said this. He said, don't drive your tent pegs too deep. Because we're just passing through. And that's what we are. We're just sojourners in this land. That's all we are. We're to use what we have for good and move on. That's what life's all about. Philippians 3, verse 17 through 21. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Now, when I think about maybe the extent that some people go and worldly, carnal things. These are the things that Paul's warning about. But let's look further. But as for us, he speaks, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working of by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, where's our citizenship? Where's our focus? Back to what we talked about this morning. It's priority and purpose and what God's will is for us to do. That's where we should be looking at things. Turn your songbook to 230. This is a song we sing all the time, and I've asked Grant, if he would, to lead us in this song. 230.
Heaven.
So I think you see that if we look at the passage that we did and we sang the song together, that the big picture is that this world's not your home. And we shouldn't be making preparations to stay here forever because we just won't work out that way. That's not what it's intended to be. So as we look a little further, the second coming of Christ then is what we need to really be focused on. Not about some calamity or cataclysm. Now, again, anything can happen. We've done seen that, but regardless of what happens, this is where our focus should be. This is where that things are going to be different. No one knows when Jesus will return. That's the reality. Now, just like this Mayan calendar and a lot of these other guys who claim that they know or have some insight in knowing, no one knows that. That's just the biblical truth of the matter. No one knows when Jesus will return. When he returns, the world will end. That is a reality. It'll be over when Jesus comes back. Regardless of what some premillennial snowstorm that you might hear, when Jesus comes back, it's over. It'll be over. And that being so, he's returning in judgment then. And we're going to stand before him and give account what we've done, whether good or whether bad. That's just the way it is. And so he is returning to bring everlasting destruction on those who are unprepared. That's also a reality. And we need to be thinking about that. And asking ourselves, how do we stand with God? When heaven is going to be the place we want to be, where do we stand with God? How have we made preparation for that? And so there will be no escape. And so this doomsday or preparation, if you run in a hole somewhere or in your fortress, wherever you go, that's not going to be nowhere that you can hide from God. So there's no need wasting your time for that type of thing. And then it will be the real doomsday. The real deal. None of this stuff that makes TV entertainment. And none of this stuff that people have focused on and talk about all day long. And it's just like a lot of other things that we see come and go, where man thinks he knows what he don't know. And people get caught up in that and they lose focus on what's really important. And so all that being so, there's qualities worthy of consideration, imitation, when you look at some things. And here's the first one. The certainty of the event. Jesus is coming back. There's no doubt about it. And so we need to think about how we stand with him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's a reality. Here's the next thing. We should be making preparation. If that's the case, we should be making preparation for that day. When that day comes, that's the most important one. Matthew 24 and verses 42 through 44, you know, we see here Jesus' preparation for the children of Israel, or the people of Israel, the Christians. What was going to come down upon Jerusalem in 70 AD. God didn't leave his servants in the first century without information to flee such a thing as that. And Matthew 24 deals with that. Now, that being so, there's some principles in verse 42 and verse 40 through 44 that we can all learn from in all times. Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Now, that's an enduring principle. And so that's a quality worth consideration and imitation, that we think about that principle right there. And just like I said before, though we didn't end time on the 21st, there's a lot of people's time who ended on the 21st. and since then. Now, just think about the number of people who passed from this life since the 21st till today. I don't know that number. I don't know that number. But the reality is that you could have been one of them. That's a possibility, that could have been. Now, it could happen for you or me before this day ends, as that goes. And so we need to be ready. We need to be watching. These are principles that are enduring for that matter. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 10. Now, Paul's instruction to these Thessalonians then. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, we are not left unprepared or left with instruction that we might be unprepared. And we looked at all the attention that the doomsday people do make preparation for some calamity that they might see coming. What kind of preparation are we making for this day, this certain day, so that this day should overtake you as a thief? You're all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now, the gospel has given us the information that we need that we could be ready at all times to meet the Lord. All times. Verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, or in other words, whether we're alive, or whether we're asleep, in other words, or we're dead, we should live together with Him. That's the focus and where we should be thinking. Here's the third thing. Have the desire to prepare others too. Now, the news is, and the people are always trying to get the word out, some calamity's coming. Get ready. Dig a hole. Fill your storehouses up. Get ready. Something could happen. But how many people are carrying the gospel, the message, and saying, hey, Jesus is coming back. You need to be ready. That's the most important message. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, and he said to them, go and into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the good news. To every creature, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, are you ready? Are you ready for that day? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, it is through faith, repenting, confessing, and being baptized into Christ that you might have the remission of your sins, that you can raise to walk a new life, that God gives you the instruction that you need in His Word, that you can always be ready, that something was to overtake you in some way, or that time was to come to an end. You could go home and be with God. And so doomsday is for those unprepared. That's who it's for. And for those who are ready, it's going to be a glorious time when we go home and be with God. Won't you make it a point right now to not make this day doomsday, but to be a day of victory and joy when we can be with God. Won't you come, please stand together and sing.